Hong Kong shuts its airport for the day. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Hong Kong's airport authority has cancelled flights in and out of the country as pro-democracy protesters occupy the building. And shares in Cathay Pacific have fallen nearly 5% after the airline complied with a Chinese order to dismiss staff found to have protested. It also agreed to bar what it called overly radical staff from crewing flights to the Chinese mainland. The BBC's Theo Leggett reports.
Cathay Pacific became a target for pressure from Beijing after employees took part in anti-government demonstrations in Hong Kong. Last week, the Chinese Civil Aviation Authority imposed new rules on the carrier, which banned it from allowing staff who'd been involved in or supported protests from working on flights to the mainland. It was told to supply lists of crews on other flights which simply passed through Chinese airspace, and was ordered to submit a report to the authorities setting out measures to strengthen internal control and improve flight safety and security. Cathay Pacific has made it clear it will comply. Chief Executive Rupert Hogg warned staff that operations in mainland China were vital to its business. He told them that employees who joined illegal demonstrations could face serious consequences, including the loss of their jobs. The carrier has already been badly affected by the unrest. It's caused bookings to fall, while a general strike in the territory last week triggered a large number of flight cancellations.
Theo Leggett, let's do the numbers. Hong Kong's Hang Seng has bucked the trend in Asia, moving lower as those protests continue. In its first ever earnings report, Saudi Aramco, the state-owned oil company, reported a 12% dip in profit from a year ago. Despite that, it is still the world's most profitable company. And the British pound is continuing to weaken against the US dollar, reaching its lowest level since October 2016. Now, Guatemala's president-elect wants to rewrite a controversial immigration deal with the U.S. and increase prosperity. The conservative candidate, Alejandro Giammattai, won just over 59% of the vote, beating his center-left rival, the former First Lady Sandra Torres. The BBC's Arturo Wallace has more.
From what the United States have been saying, they basically want Guatemala to act as a third safe country for asylum seekers trying to reach the United States. And that means that potentially the United States can send back to Guatemala all those migrants who reach United States territory via Central America. And this has potentially terrible consequences because we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people only from Central America. And Guatemala would have actually to host them, to feed them, and to keep them while their asylum requests are processed in the United States. So it's difficult to know exactly what President-elect Giammattai wants to do different. He will certainly try to ease the burden that this represents and especially try to convince the United States government not to apply the measures that they threaten in case the agreement is rejected by the Guatemalan courts. President Trump has said that if Guatemala didn't accept this agreement, he would start taxing remittances to Guatemala, which are like a huge part of the GDP. And also he would start imposing tariffs on Guatemalan export to the United States, which is the most important market.
He's also talked about increasing prosperity. What's holding Guatemala back economically?
Well, it's basically an economical system that serves the elites. Guatemala has been one of the strongest performers economically in Latin America in the past few years. You know, economy has been growing. But then again, you know, according to local figures, Guatemala hasn't been able to reduce poverty in the last 20 years. There are more poor people in Guatemala today than 20 years ago. Guatemala is the most unequal country in the whole of Latin America.
Arturo Wallace. Now, with its beautiful canals, Venice is one of the most recognizable tourist destinations on Earth. But a recent cruise ship accident has highlighted a growing concern about the challenging impact of mass tourism on the city. Manuela Zaragoza reports.
That's the sound of a 65,000-ton cruise liner blaring its horn as it crashes into the dockside in Venice. It happened on the 2nd of June this year, but there have been other near misses too, all of which has reignited a debate that has been raging for years, namely what to do about the massive cruise ships that come to Venice. Tommaso Cacciari is an activist with a group called No Grande Navi, No Big Ships.
These ships are too big for Venice Lagoon. First of all, because they pollute too much. The only thing that they should do is to stop immediately the entrance of these ships in the lagoon. The safety of citizens, the safety of the city is more important than your business.
Everyone agrees the obvious solution is to move the port where cruise ships dock out of Venice, away from the city's fragile canals, lagoon and waterways. But this being Italy, it's become a political issue, the subject of a spat between the authorities in Rome on one hand and Venice on the other. Danilo Toninelli is the Italian transport minister in Rome.
We could remove the cruise ships starting tomorrow, but right now there's no alternative cruise ship terminal.
Cruise ships disgorge tens of thousands of tourists onto Venice on any given single day, but they constitute just a small portion of the staggering 30 million tourists who visit the city every year. Compare that with the meagre 50,000 people who still live in Venice. That's 600 tourists to every resident. So does all of this mean that Venice, as a living city, is doomed?
It's like Disneyland, but without the management.
Jan van den Borch teaches the economics of tourism at the University of Venice.
Venice is indeed a very crowded place, and it's getting worse and worse, because we cannot forget this, that the United Nations World Tourism Organization forecast for 2030 is a doubling of the number of people that travel internationally. So there's no doubt about the fact that the situation is going to get worse and worse.
And that means the backlash against tourism in the city won't be dying down anytime soon. In Venice, I'm Manuela Saragossa for Marketplace.
And I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.